I'm Ed Adams, and you're listening to the AFCA Podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the AFCA Podcast. And for this episode, fasten your seatbelt because our destination is in-flight entertainment. And I'll share the details after the break. The AFCA Podcast is sponsored by Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment. So check this out. It's estimated there are more than 100,000 flights globally every day. And according to the FAA, 2.9 million passengers fly out of the U.S. airports daily. Now, whether you're taking a quick jaunt or flying to distant destinations, in-flight entertainment is a critical part of the travel experience. When it comes to in-flight entertainment, we're referring to everything from access to Wi-Fi, music channels, movies, TV shows, podcasts, games, news, and even airplane and flight information. Now, in 2023, the global in-flight entertainment and connectivity market size was valued at about $7.5 billion, and it's expected to grow by a whopping $21 billion by 2030. One of the airlines that is leading this initiative in the U.S. is Delta Airlines. Ranked number one for best in-flight entertainment by NerdWallet in 2024, Ekrem Dimbaloglu, Managing Director of In-Flight Entertainment and Connectivity at Delta, made Wi-Fi free to passengers in 2023. And according to Business Insider, he states Delta is invested over $1 billion in entertaining passengers for the past decade. Now, the engine behind providing in-flight entertainment is Delta Studio. Now, this is a curated platform thousands of travelers engage with daily to watch classics and recent movies, critically acclaimed television series, masterclasses, podcasts, and even more. And when it comes to the movies we see in flight, this is curated by Catherine McDaniel, lead content curator of movies for Delta Studios. Now, I had a chance to talk to Catherine via Zoom about her role, the curation process, and I got some insights on the industry. Catherine, welcome to the AFCA Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So I probably shouldn't be saying this on the podcast, but you're my favorite airline. I love Delta.
Oh, thank you so much. So do I.
Gil's going to kill me for that, but it's okay. I said it. It's in the universe now. So before we get started, please explain what your role is with Delta, as specifically with the entertainment space.
Yeah, so I am the lead content curator for movies and top picks at Delta Studio, which means all the movies that go on board I picked out. And I'm also responsible for curating the monthly collections that we have on board, which include new releases, cultural things like Black History Month, Pride Month, et cetera, and then anything that's just relevant to what's going on or I think would be fun to have on board. In addition to those main responsibilities, I'm in charge of our accessibility strategy, DE&I strategy, and also looking at our foreign language content strategy as well.
Oh, wow. Now, that's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot. You are busy. You're very, very busy. So with thousands of flights every day and people coming from around the world, I mean, how do you actually curate? I mean, like you just said, you've got a whole laundry list of things. How do you actually curate without going into all the heavy stuff and the strategies? Yeah. But how do you do it?
So it's also we refresh our content on a monthly basis. And there's actually a lot that goes into it. We actually have to curate about 3 months in advance. So I look at, well, every month we have new releases, like I said. If there's going to be, like I said, kind of a Heritage Month, like Black History Month or Pride Month or something like that, we'll have a curation for that. And then beyond that, I try to kind of go just kind of relevant to what's going on in the world, will be going on in the world at the time, I guess, since it's ahead. We like to have maybe a travel collection, so a bunch of movies set in the same area, kind of as a inspire passengers to keep traveling and keep using Delta. Like to have kind of a more family collection that's more kids oriented, so they Make sure that the younger travelers have something that they can enjoy as well. We normally have a TV collection, some of our partner content like Spotify and Masterclass. And then I'll think of, other things like, rom-coms for February to celebrate Valentine's Day. In the summer, we'll have like a summer road trip, just because that's what people are out and about doing. This past summer, I had one of the travel collections was based in Australia, New Zealand, because the Women's World Cup was going on at the time. So, and of course, for December, we'll have holiday content. So it just depends on kind of what's going on and what I basically feel like curating.
All I heard was, I'm the boss. I make this stuff happen. I love it. I love
We
it.
have a whole team of people, but yeah, I'm picking
Yeah.
the
Well, so I'm curious, how big is your list? So for example, if you're thinking about me, there's been holiday movies for since forever. How do you narrow that down? I mean, is it just like, I mean, do you have criteria? Like you said, there's parts about travel, or maybe it's about a particular city, or
It
like.
depends. Well, we have system limitations that only allow me to put so many movies in a collection, so it is can be hard to narrow down sometimes. And then we also have kind of deals with the studios about the number of titles from them we can take every year, so that can come into play in terms of constraints. But I try to mix it up in terms of, older classics, newer favorites. We track our viewership data as well, so I'm looking at that to see the kind of things that people are liking, especially things that happen year after year, like holidays like Halloween or Christmas. I go and see, okay, what did most people watch last year? I try to have some of those super favorites and then try to mix it up in terms of what I'm adding in each year. Because, like you said, there's so much to choose from, it's hard to narrow down. So, things like those, it's easy to kind of mix up, and I can bring in. Make it kind of go more horror one year, or maybe, do more fun, just kind of thriller, jump scare type stuff another year. So, it just really depends.
Right. So, I mean, just like in television, you have upfronts and stuff like that. For you, because you are working with some of these studios, do they kind of say, hey, these are the movies we have coming up now, take a look at them, let me know how this works?
Yeah, we have a couple conferences throughout the year that we're able to meet with them. They're able to share trailers and sneak peeks of things that are coming up. They also have kind of, I guess, a mini upfront, as you will, for kind of the airline buyers later in May, where we come into the studio for like a whole day and they just show like clips and sometimes pilot episodes of TV shows that are coming out and will be available. And then we also have access to screener sites so we can. Screen things before programming them.
Awesome. Awesome. Coming back to the international thing, and specifically when it comes to distribution and these networks, I mean, you do have a pretty extensive list of international programming. So how does that fall into the same thing? They're at the same conferences, or is there a different type of process when you're dealing with the international
Yeah, it's a little bit different because we don't have direct deals with them. So all of the stuff we program with them is ad hoc, but they are at those same conferences. There's a bunch of small distributors from around the world. A lot of times they specialize in, different areas. So there's be one that's specializing in, Indian and South Asian content, another focusing on, East Asian content, some focused on, European content, like French content, Italian content. So there's a bunch to choose from. So, but they will be at those conferences as well, so we can get a little taste of what they have to offer and make sure that's on our radar as well.
Okay, cool. I just made a quick note. You did mention that you also work with accessibility. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was like closed captioning and what are your sensitivities about your programming and how do you approach that?
So this year in 2023, we've really stepped up our game in terms of accessibility. As of our September media load, all of our stored content, that's movies and TV, have closed captions or English subtitles. And that's going to be our standard going forward. So if something's not available with closed captions or subtitles at this point, we don't take it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So we've come a long way with that. I think we were only about 42% of our movies and 80% of our TV at the beginning of this year. And now we're up to 100% of our content with closed captions. So that was kind of an area of improvement for us. And I'm really proud of the progress that we've made this year and hoping to just continue making inroads in this space. I think the next thing for us to tackle is how to handle audio description. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I know we're not going to be talking about podcasts in this particular conversation, but one of the things I love about, you know, being on a flight, even if I don't have the earbuds in, is I can turn it on and have a caption on it, and I can just read, specifically when it's international stuff, right? It just makes sense. Okay. Talk about, you did mention some of the special programming that you do. So let's talk about diversity. How important is diversity in your programming with Delta?
For me, well, it's really important just because if you think about we have millions of passengers every year from all walks of life, and we want to make sure that our entertainment offering has something for everybody. And so that means bringing on diverse content. Me personally, I like consuming diverse content just in my personal, you know, my downtime. So I think it's really important to have on board, just not only because, like I said, to have something for everyone, but, you know, it's great content as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how important are the award seasons? Because there's award season everywhere at all times. So how important is being aware of the trends in the award space when it comes to your programming?
For me, that's something I pay attention to very closely. I'm chronically online, as they say, so I'm always paying attention to, you know, who has buzz to get nominated, which films are likely to be nominated. And now it's from before I had this job, I would keep track of it. But now I'm like, okay, so which studio is producing this? Like, trying to figure out, will we be able to have it on board? And can we get the rights to it and things like that? I mentioned earlier that we program about 3 months in advance, so it's hard to have. I can't concretely put, okay, here are all the, you know, movies that are nominated for the Oscars and have them on board during March when the Oscars is airing, because I wouldn't know when I'm programming who's going to be nominated. But I try to have my thumb on the pulse of like what's going on and what's likely to be nominated, you know, who are the hot actors, and making sure we have, you know, their films on board. So it's just me kind of keeping track of the trends and, you know, reading up on the trades and making sure I'm aware of everything that's going on.
Ah, okay. So you did mention you have a pretty big team when you're curating this stuff. I'm curious about the selection. Like when someone brings, hey, you know, Catherine, I think this really needs to make it. Do you have any kind of just easy going, like any kind of basic criteria that a film has to meet in order for you to put it into your programming?
Not really. I'm the one main curating. When I have, say, we have a big team, other people are focused on different areas. So there's a person focused on TV, person focused on, you know, music and games, etc. I'm the main one curating. We do work with our content service provider. And basically they're the main company when I come up with, here's the list of movies that I want to have on board for whatever month. And they go out, confirm the rights for everything, put it in the right format to go on board and help all of that get facilitated to happen. So me, I'm looking at what's a good movie. Like, is it rated high on Rotten Tomatoes? Or is it like have a high audience score? That's like something that people really love to watch. Outside of new releases, I'm kind of looking at what are those kind of movies that would be playing on cable on the weekend that people would just turn on. You know, you can watch it over and over again. And we want to make, you know, the Delta experience is stress-free, enjoyable experience that we can. And I think having those kind of comfort watches on board really help. And then also, kind of to your point about the diversity, kind of helping people discover films that they might not find on their own. So kind of a combination of different things.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. One of the things that I was just thinking about when you answered this question was movies, like you just said, movies that you know people would want to watch. Mm-hmm. So how often does a movie make it back on the list?
Oh, very often. I mean, some things are just classics and you just have to hop on board. And some people write in and see, like, I noticed that the Devil Wears Prada is not on board anymore. Like, we need to have that back on board. And so,
Really, they
yes,
write in.
they write people, lots of people write in for different things. Some people even email our CEO. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what you get so you get an email from the CEO that's like, why is the Devil Wears Prada now?
Maybe not that kind of thing, but we will get feedback, especially from like other Delta employees about, the content that's on board. So,
I see. I see.
yeah. So something that was recently popular was Top Gun Maverick. Obviously, it was a huge film, and it was also wildly popular on board. And it'll be back on board for Veterans Day. So, but yeah, it was super popular, especially among Delta employees.
Awesome. Awesome. So, okay, icebreaker question.
Okay.
What is your favorite film?
Oh my gosh.
You know I had to ask.
I know. I don't
It doesn't
know
have to
that
be on Delta in-flight. Just
I love it. Okay. I wouldn't say, I feel like I still have many, many movies to watch. And, I feel like I should say something prestige or something, but one of my favorite films is the 2005 Pride and Prejudice, I have to say.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I see. I see. Oh, Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
That guy. All right. Yeah, I was thinking, okay. And then secondly, the other icebreaker question is, how did you get into this role?
How did I get into this role? Well, a friend of mine actually works at Delta, on the in-flight team. She heads up our Wi-Fi team, so making sure, the fast Wi-Fi is working and everything and all of that. And my role came open last year, and she said she knows me, so she's like knows how into pop culture and entertainment I am. And she said, hey, the content roles come up, if you're interested. And I said, sure, send me the job description. She sent it to me. Perfect combination of my personal interests and professional background. And yeah, I applied and went through the interview process and got the role.
I love it. Well, congratulations, and I'm glad you're
Thanks.
in this role.
Same.
Yeah, but I would also like to think, when you're doing your curated list, right? The special programming, I would imagine that, being on the pulse of culture is like really, really important, especially when you think about like what's happening right now around the world. And there is a certain amount of sensitivity that you have to have. So how does that play into how you start doing things and putting things into your mix?
Yeah, we have. So when we're putting things on board, we have our title screened. We have content guidelines to make sure nothing, too super brutal, it gets on. And part of our content guidelines is political, so we don't really have anything that mentions like the most recent president or the previous president on board. Nothing showing like 9/11 or anything like that. So we try to be kind of sensitive politically in those regards to, what's going on with more current events, making sure we're not putting anything that's really commenting on what's been going on, I guess, the past 10, 15 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious about that. I mean, we all see what's happening in the world today, and
Exactly.
and if you want to watch that, Delta does have live television, so you can
Exactly.
watch
You can
the
watch the news. We have
news.
many of the news channels, so you can stay on top of everything that's going on while you're in your flight.
Absolutely. So there, one thing that I was curious about, I mean, you do say people write in, and there are obviously companies that will help people get their films distributed. But does Delta have any programs or initiatives to kind of seek out new talents or to help promote new talents?
We don't really have any programs along those lines in terms of finding new talent. We don't know. If it happens to come across us and we, find something and we're like, wow, this is really good, we'll definitely look to get it on board, but we don't have a formal program.
Okay. And then the Olympics is coming up.
Yes.
Yes. So I was just kind of curious because you got when you're programming, is it the same? So if I'm coming from America going to Paris, and if I'm coming from Venezuela coming to Paris, is it the same programming or is it different?
It's the same program right now. So, we're actually working on rolling out kind of a new interface experience, that's more intuitive, kind of more like your smart TV. And we will have capabilities eventually with that kind of interface to make things a little bit more custom to origin and destination, time of day in terms of what's featured, but all the content itself is the same.
Oh wow. Okay. Cool.
That's further further down the
Further
road,
down.
but
Okay, when we come
yes.
back, we're coming back.
Yeah.
We're coming back. We'll see. We'll talk about like I told you.
Right. But for now, it's the same.
Okay, fair. Musicals. Let's talk
Yes.
about that.
Okay.
There was one time I was on a plane and a musical was on and people have no problem singing, on the plane. None. And I was like, what's up with that? Like, do people, I mean, the numbers and the metrics. I
Yeah.
mean, is musicals popular? And have you
So
ever heard stories of people actually like just burst out singing on the plane? Because
I
I can tell you
haven't.
have one.
It's interesting because I feel like musicals themselves, as far as I know, haven't been that popular. However, the Whitney Houston biopic was really popular this year.
Oh
I don't
wow.
know if anyone was singing along, but
Ooh, that was not
okay.
it. And
I don't know.
wow.
It depends on a more traditional musical, kind of like, I don't know, West Side Story or something, I guess does okay. But I don't, like I said, I don't know. It depends on what kind of musical, if it's like a biopic musical or just kind of a movie musical. It just depends. But overall, I don't think musicals have performed that well. So it's interesting.
Okay. Like my big thing, I want to gain flyer points, frequent flyer points for all the movies I watch.
That's interesting.
It's like, oh, you've watched this whole series. You get blah 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 points. I'm like,
Well, so kind of one of the
yay.
things our new kind of interface that's coming out is you'll be able to log in with your SkyMiles account to the seatback screen and create a list of everything you want to watch. It'll remember where you left off if you don't finish a movie or something. So then when you log back in, you can just like you don't have to like remember the timestamp. You can just it'll just pick up for you.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Oh
it's really cool.
I have one last question. And it's really about, okay, well, the question really is about coming back around to your distribution and working with people. So when you're thinking about those technologies that you've kind of mentioned over, throughout, is your department and your role is expanding? I mean, you don't have to tell me, but I mean, like all the details of how many jobs, but it sounds like to me that with so much content out there and the way that you're saying that the technology that you're using around is going to expand, would that mean that like in flight overall, not just with Delta, but like the travel entertainment space is an expanding and growing market?
That's interesting. I think yes, because right, if the amount of content is growing, then naturally the what's available in flight would have to grow as well. But I also think it's kind of shifting too from what we're used to. So I think we're going to see it, hopefully, at least, Delta, we always want to be the leader and the first to be doing something different. So it's going to be changing and hopefully be, easier to access, more fun, going forward.
Well, that's awesome. That's
Yeah.
awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I love travel. I love Delta. I'm always looking for new stuff to watch, and I always find really great movies and content that I sometimes I'm not always aware of. So I'm always happy to find things there. So thank you for what you do. And I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Catherine McDaniel, lead content curator of movies for Delta Studios. Now, recently, APCA partnered with Delta to spotlight the Black experience in film for Black History Month. The curated list provided by members of APCA featured 12 movies for passengers, including Dreamgirls, Friday, and Dear White People. And that's our show. A big thanks to Delta Studios and Catherine McDaniel for participating in this episode. And did you know that Origin, American Fiction, The Color Purple, and Rustin took the top prizes at this year's APCA Awards? Well, they did. And you can see clips of the award ceremony, images from the red carpet, and more by visiting and subscribing to APCA on Instagram. So until next time, keep your head up.